Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 40, from May 8, 2007, on the precipice of potential. MacBreak Weekly enters middle age with our 40th episode. It's all downhill from here. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good day to you, and welcome back to the show that really doesn't talk about Macs all that much. Mostly, mostly we just wander off in our own little world. Scott Bourne's a-giggling over there. Hey, Scott.
Howdy.
From Apple Phone
Show.com. Thank you, sir.
And PodcastingTricks.com and iLifeZone.com. And, of course, the famous Podango. Not to be confused
You're so
with
kind.
Podango. Podango.
Well, we say Podango so we don't get sued by Apple's lawyers for saying Podango.
Oh, yeah, really. That's a good reason.
Is there an explanation?
So when they called, I told him it's Podango.
Podango. I think it's actually Podanjo.
Podanjo. Yeah, yeah. That's Moylan Man.
Hello, Mr. Leo.
Hello, nice, Moylan Man.
Nice 40th episode with the making of the Mac doll.
From 43folders.com and, of course, the MerlinShow.com and his tumble log. We were talking about you with David Karp on Net at Night on Sunday. Kung Fu Grip with GRIPPE.com.
I'm going to have to add that my own site to my host file. It has become like my slash dot.
It's so great.
I can't, well, I don't know about that, but it's very fun.
Everything you care about is on there.
Yes. Yes. If you're very interested in the extreme minority of really bizarre things that appeal just to me, it's definitely a destination site.
It is. Speaking of destination sites, the colossal width of bandwidth, colossal waste of bandwidth.
Colossal?
Twist.
Colossal waste
of
colossal waste of colossal waste of bandwidth
.com
with the clicking and the dragging and the biting and the blabbing.
It's already time to play this. I can't believe it. We're 30 seconds into the show and already.
Leo, if you can see daylight from inside the rat hole, you're not really inside the rat hole yet, Leo.
We're digging deep into the rat hole. Yeah, baby. That's, of course, Andy Inatko. The Chicago Sun-Times. Yeah. And we are here to talk once again about the latest in the Mac world.
Yeah, but first, Leo, I'm sorry. I need to apologize. I thought we were meant to start to be going downhill 8 episodes ago. I started way too soon. I'm so sorry. I missed a memo.
You peaked early, and you're collapsing already. No,
well, that's okay. I've got enough I've got the PSP here, so I'm sure I can distract myself and cause enough random neural misfirings to keep completely off topic and be saying things that no one will find interesting or illuminating in any fashion. I think I can.
Let me ask,
you
guys can't actually hear this, can you? If I just
Merlin's
a
little hungry.
Thing to be doing to your cat, Merlin.
It's the bones that are so deliciously crunchy, don't you find?
It's a Lay's classic.
It's a what?
I'm sorry. It's a
Let
Lay's,
me interpret for you. Lay's classic.
Mm-hmm. Classic what?
Leo, would it cost for us to actually get Jerry Lewis on the show? What kind of money do you think we're talking about?
I don't know. I think a small donation to Jerry's kids would probably be sufficient to do it, don't you
think? If we let him talk about himself, he'll fly himself over. They'll probably bring Dick Cavett as well.
It'd be so great to have Jerry Lewis.
The problem
Lewis.
Is they fear a genius in this industry.
What when people you come don't in, understand about me and Dean was the love. There was a love between us, deeper than brothers.
You are a
only people who had fought.
Who is an artist and a creator. You're going to be attacked from all angles by people who do not. I think we're totally not going to get him on the show now.
No, we will. We will. Yeah. And I think it'd be so great if just to have him on just to say, you know.
Oh, I'd be so into that.
Live and late. Yeah.
He could phone it in. He could Skype it in.
He could Skype it in. Jerry.
He's a gadget. He's the classic gadget guy. He is like gadget guy number
one. No, is he
one.
Really?
He invented. Oh, my God. He invented the video.
He invented the video tap. He invented the idea of having like a video feed of what you're filming so that you can show. You
Jerry Lewis
what
did?
You just shot. He has the patent on that. He has patents.
He was the first person who was shooting video on the same, like right alongside. Film so he could watch Russians every day, and he's a huge photography and recording nerd. You ever heard his crank calls?
No.
Oh, he's got some really good crank calls.
Really? Well,
he also mic'd up his kid's room with hidden microphones.
Oh.
And he had a secret room in his office. There was an interview with him that I once read that I had to double read just to make sure it wasn't parody. Because as a way of basically illustrating his geekness, his nerdness, and his power and strength and wonderfulness as a father,
yes.
He talked about spanking his 16-year-old son and then rushing back to his secret office that only he had the keys to listen to see, to hear what his son said to his other son about being spanked.
Dad is such a man.
And saying to the interviewer, and what Gary told his little brother was that he deserved it, and he was thankful that I loved him so much that I was willing to undergo that sort of pain with him.
And that is so creepy on so many levels.
It's so Rupert Pupkin, I tell you.
It's so Krusty the Clown. It's impossibly delicious.
Wow.
Did you read the Sean Levy King of Comedy biography?
King of Comedy, one of my
all-time favorite books. If you only read one book this decade, read the it began as an authorized biography and very quickly became unauthorized. And it's like the all-time great page-turning biography.
It shows him his good side. It shows him his bad side. You feel as though they've created this brand new character called Jerry Lewis, and you've just seen a double trilogy about him. Only it's not like Star Wars. It actually is good in the second half.
Scott, do you feel like somehow this all went wrong somewhere?
And I thought what was happening next was those guys were going to try to sell us the old albums from Dean Martin,
The King of Comedy, by Jackie Chan. No.
Dean was probably a Commodore 64.
Sean Levy.
That's right.
We do usually wait till at least 10, 15 minutes into the show to go into a lab.
One Mac item in before we complete.
He's going to fix all of this in post. This is okay. I'll edit it.
I'll put it at the end of the show. And that's where everybody will wonder, well, wow, they've been talking for an hour and a half about the Mac, and now they get around to Jerry Lewis.
I can see somebody sitting there in iTunes, and like, you know, you do that thing where you click, and then you go like a 16th of an inch, and you click again. And
still talking about Jerry Lewis. How about these? How about this? This is the new Apple Get a Mac ad. There are three of them, and they're very Vista-focused, like this
Hello,
one.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC, and it's time to play Choose a Vista.
Well, what's going on?
Well, Vista comes in six different versions, and I don't know which to choose. I could spend a lot of money and get a version that has a lot of stuff I don't need, or spend too little and get stuck with one that doesn't do very much at all.
I mean, Macs just have one version with all the stuff you need already.
Well, that's boring.
I don't want to spoil it for you, so we'll stop right there.
Turns out poorly for the PC guys. That's all I'm saying.
I'm guessing. Here's another one. This is the Genius.
A what?
Oh, CPC.
I like how they have a short young woman as a Mac Genius.
Any questions you have about your Mac?
Like if you want to go wireless, you want to transfer your files over to a Mac?
Oh, a Genius.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. What's the square root of 4,096?
64.
What's pi to the fifth decimal?
3.14159.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I loathe Mac?
11.
Ooh, she's good.
That's the best one right there.
That's pretty funny. There's also one where the party's over. It's the Vista party. The launch party's over. And they say, well, I guess we'll do this again in 5 years. I have to say, they're good. They know what they're doing.
You know, the one that's lame, though, is the one where he says, I'm trying to get my drivers. I got to get out of here. That one doesn't really thrill me that much.
This is a whole new series of these. You know what? Apple's so smart because they make these good enough that you actually go to the website and you actually watch them. And, you know, and people play them on podcasts and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's just really kind of...
Just like we just did.
Yeah. Oh, they do. That's right.
Did you see this new series of Mac versus PC parodies starring Marvel Comics versus DC Comics?
Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
They've got Spider-Man as the Mac guy, Superman as the PC guy. Oh, I'm sure we've got our own movies coming. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're going to be really great, too.
Shall I play it?
If you have it on hand.
I can find anything on YouTube. wait a minute, Marvel. Oh, wait a minute, maybe I can't. Mac parody. Google's amazing.
Through the magic of editing,
I will have found that instantly.
I believe it sounds something like this.
A little like this.
Hi, I'm a Marvel.
And I'm a DC.
Hey, by the way, welcome back to the movies, man.
Hey, it's good to be back. It's been a while, but we've got plenty of projects lined up.
Oh, really? Like Wonder Woman?
You may see that one eventually.
Oh, Flash?
Hey, you never know. Sometime, possibly soon in the next few years, keep your ears open. And we just asked a few writers to think about the possibility of maybe what it might take to theoretically make a Justice League movie in the next 10 years or possibly more, perhaps. Not to mention negotiating for 3 more of my movies.
I guess I'm not enough of a comic geek to really get the subtle...
That doesn't reach me.
...subtext of what's going on there.
It touched me on a profound personal level. It moved me.
You know where Apple
I'm
was,
a better person for having watched that.
You know where Apple's agency was smart was in that little, the music box music behind it. It's so easy to fake.
Yeah.
And it instantly makes any parody work because, you know, it's just two guys standing there with a music box behind them and it's a parody.
Will Apple ever stop benefiting the user community?
They're always thinking. They're
so
amazing.
Have we decided, are these really there to move units? Are these there in their mind primarily to get people like us talking about
that's
them?
What I think they're absolutely aimed at all at people who already sold on Macs. I don't think they do much to move anybody over to Mac.
When's the last time you saw one of these ads that actually mentioned a specific Apple product that you can actually go into a store and buy?
Yeah.
I think it's more like it's people already have people already see the hook dangling in front of them. This will just draw them a little closer and a little closer, so that they know that people are not necessarily plunking down $2,000 for a new notebook every single week, but in the weeks or months to come, it'll just put that hook in and say, "Oh yeah."
I think it's so that people will have ammunition. I think it's so people have ammunition with which they can use to pick on their friends that are PC users.
I don't think it's ammunition. I think it's totally about, look at us, aren't we cool? It totally reaffirms the fact that you're in the Mac fraternity.
And well, that's the ammunition. That's it. That's the reaffirmation.
You can't say it to a Windows guy. Look at us, see, aren't we better? Windows guys look at those ads and they go, that's stupid.
Ah.
Yeah, for the same reason I think they look at, and historically anyway, have looked at Macs and said, hey, that's stupid.
Right.
You know.
Yes. Same reason why guys like us in high school said, we don't want to go to the prom. Proms are stupid. Spend $200 on a stupid fried chicken meal as if. I got the new Dungeons & Dragons D20 module, man. We're going to have some fun.
If the original nerd hadn't stayed home, we wouldn't have the wheel or fire. So just remember that.
Here's a good perspective.
Right? They were out partying, and he was at home working on
everyone,
fire.
Everyone else go out, have good time. Gore, stay home, make wheel.
Make wheel. Oh, yeah, right. Gore, you nitwit. You'll never get laid.
I'd be so long.
You do have to wonder how long it was, you know, for Bill Gates. I mean, looking at Bill Gates in particular, you got to wonder, like, compared to his classmates, how long was it between the time that he was born and he actually kissed a girl? It's got to have been like some kind of way behind time.
Well, let me put it this way. Bill made up for lost time.
Yes, he did. He did.
I think we can stop at that point, but I think that there's no question he was famous. A famous ladies' man.
Yeah.
Later in life.
Starting at age 40.
Yeah. Which is ironic because it's not like he's going to leave any money behind on the bed. Or maybe he will. I don't know. Maybe he will.
He left an IOU for a future copy of Vista.
Hey, that's worth some bucks.
Hey, could you not cash that for a couple of years? Yeah.
Don't worry. It won't be out for until 2001. So.
Well, I think he tries to make a joke about that old Sinatra line. There's $1.8 million on the nightstand because that's all you're worth, baby. And he says, okay, cool.
I'll take it.
So let's have that in stock.
Let's get some Mac news. What do you say? Starting off with the rumor that tomorrow there'll be a Touch iPod.
Touch iPod.
I'm ready.
No question. It's going to be in the store.
Will it be a Beatles iPod?
Oh, are you thinking there's going to be 4 different ones, and they're each going to have a different haircut, and the hair is going to actually grow.
I want the Ringo. He's the cutest.
And it's going to be a zombified Ringo Starr. They're going to kill him and then bring him back to life just for the commercials because they know it'll get media play.
This has been a big week for squelched rumors. There's been a couple big ones that have come and gone pretty quickly this week. That's been a very hot one with what appeared to be very little initial
reason to believe.
Yeah.
Well, there is the story, and this is, I think, true because it comes from EE Times, which isn't known for its Apple rumor mongering. That Apple ordered a $500 million flash chips from Samsung this month. Now, before you get all excited, these are 4 gigabit chips. So you divide by 8 to their 512 megabyte chips. But that's still, I mean, if you have had 8 of them, that'd make a 4 gig something.
That's the basis of the basic iPhone, maybe.
Yeah, but 62.5 million 4 gigabyte units.
And the bigger story is
how many iPhones they're going to sell.
Well, they're going to sell millions, but
it's not 62.5 million. That's how many they've committed.
Over time.
I think that's for this year they've committed to those.
Oh, well,
which to me means, I mean, I think it sounds like they might be doing a flash-based iPod.
Actually, there's a worldwide flash shortage I've been reading about. I mean, if you're into the, you know, futures market, that might be a place to look.
I'd love to see an iPhone iPod.
It's coming.
Everybody wants one.
What do you mean?
Tomorrow?
Like an iPhone that can play music and stuff?
Yeah, without the phone.
Oh.
Because I already have a phone.
But you want the Alex version of the
iPod. It's time to update the iPod, frankly, and I think that that's the way to go. I mean, would they even consider releasing an iPod, a sixth generation iPod that didn't have those touchscreen features?
Why would they not wait until the phone is out? I mean, why would
Get you to buy the phone. So you're right.
Well, we're less than 4 weeks away from the phone.
Now you saw this. I'm sure that Singular employees were told not to take any time off between June 15th and July 15th because it's going to be very, very busy.
You are correct, sir.
And interesting that they said June 15th.
That's because that's the day you'll be able to get your phone.
So it sounds like that's the date now, although they've been saying end of June. Hasn't Apple been saying end of June?
Well, I think there's a difference between when you'll be able to plunk
your
money down and leave with it.
You'll get it June 30th, but you can order June 15th.
And also, I think you're going to find out that the initial shipment is teeny-weensy.
Are you saying that as speculation?
That is so smart.
Yeah, of course.
They do that. Look at the Wii's. I mean, it's sort of, you know, that whole kind of like invite-only culture that's going around on the web right now. That would be, you know, to give another shot to the whole iPhone thing. People have been kind of debating, should they have, you know, waited this long between announcement and getting it out? That would be a huge shot to just put out.
Well, you can't think that was planned. I mean, if there are people lined up with money, you take the money. That's rule number one of business.
Well, they couldn't get them out fast enough.
Yeah.
But didn't make them.
But I do say that there's this. I mean, you could always make a lemonade out of the lemon saying, well, yeah, but okay, maybe we can't sell as many as we'd like to today, but boy, we're sure going to boost demand tomorrow. Didn't work for the PlayStation 3. You still have to have a good product.
Well, look at Harley Davidson. They've operated for years on the principle of making sure that supply is short.
Right.
And you cannot go into any Harley Davidson dealership in the United States and pay retail for a bike. You're going to pay above retail because they get so few.
Now, they must be under a lot of pressure, though, from Singular. You can't think Singular ATT wants to have a shortage. They would like to have every single one they could sell, right?
That's a good point. Yeah. What each of them hopes to optimally get out of this is really, at the end of the day, pretty different.
Yeah, well, every month that you don't have an iPhone is a month I don't have you paying Singular rates.
Well, I mean, and the story that a lot of people are watching right now is how many people, you know, let's just say even between January and now, have had to at least consider whether they want to re-up a two-year contract with something.
Well, that's the latest story is that it's killing the cell industry right now. People are not re-upping. Has anybody heard whether this is just FUD or if this is true?
There's a story on Ultimate Apple Weblog right now. The top story right now is iPhone anticipation continues to shake up cell market. I haven't read the story through, but
we don't need to read the story. Just read the headlines. And then we'll comment. Who needs facts? Who needs
the Twitter version of the news? 140 characters in which to assimilate national, world, political, financial, and socioeconomical.
We actually turned the Twitter model on its head. The news is 140 characters, and then we go on for 140 hours on those 140 characters. It's kind of a new thing we're trying out. Rat holes included, of course.
That would not surprise me at all, I've got to tell you, because,
What would not surprise you? I'm sorry, I've lost track. What are we talking about?
That would be having a dent, because there's so much. I mean, so where did we all start? We start with the idea that one reason the iPhone, if it succeeds, is likely to succeed because people hate their phones and to some extent kind of dislike the phone company that's associated with it.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's not like people are going, oh, well, you know, I want to make sure I keep my money with Sprint. You know, there's not any emotional skin in the game. So, yeah, you've got to imagine if you're on the bubble, you know, and there's, you know, of course, these phone companies will go out there. And there's a great story I won't be able to find real quickly. But one guy talking about being contacted by Sprint or whomever going, hey, just wanted to make sure everything was cool with your account and wanted to see if you wanted to blah, 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 do these things. And it starts out seeming like a really good like customer service move. But it's really all about the fact that any change, any change
gets you two more years, you bet. Or one more year anyway.
Yeah. I've said this like I'm getting Alex about this, but I three times now I've wanted to just go in and just add a few minutes to my.
Now you can get out of that if you know they're doing it.
That's not because of the iPhone. That's because cellular companies are, by and large, they have the bastard gene in them. when I bought an unlocked international GSM smartphone last year, And it turned out that my old, because I was a singular subscriber, but because I was like a grandfathered in from AT&T, I had like the 32K SIM. I needed the special new 64K SIM to make it work. And they wanted to put me into a one-year contract just to give me a new SIM card. No new phone, no new nothing, just
my
new
gosh.
Piece of plastic that cost 8 cents. Sorry, we're going to lock you into another year-long contract. And I almost canceled out of spite, but then I realized that, well, it's not like I was planning on leaving Singular within the next year and a half anyway. It's not like my rates are going to change. You know, if I were 17, I would have started a few fires, but unfortunately.
That's so galling to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's this interesting concept around cell phones is like, we will hold you prisoner, whereas every other business has to actually try to deliver the goods. And the reason I think people are excited about the iPhone, if you really, I mean, Merlin constantly asked this question, and I decided it deserved some careful consideration. And I think the answer is people want the iPhone because it's a phone that they'll actually want to use as opposed to one that they'll have to use. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, that's a conversation. Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I think that that's what's going to drive the industry towards realizing that performance can actually do as good or better a job of keeping your customers as can taking the Andes of the world and putting a gun to their head every time they want something. You know, it's this whole wild idea of, hey, let's just actually create something people want and like, and maybe they'll buy it.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with somebody just a week ago about that, and I was trying to tell them that there is a possibility that the iPhone can do for cellular phones what the Mac did for personal computers. Just communicating that, well, look, it doesn't have to be this hard to use. It doesn't have to be this much of a pain in the butt. Here's how a phone that's properly designed and properly engineered can work. I really think that most of the features aren't just the design and just aren't just the touchscreen. It's just the fact that things work the way you anticipate and expect and hope them to.
I mean, we don't know. This thing isn't out yet. Everybody's so overexcited about this. Come on.
I agree.
You won't be one of them.
And I also think
I'll get one because I have to. But I'll tell you,
I won't give you one.
If I didn't have to get one, I probably wouldn't get one. I certainly would want to wait till the second generation.
True.
And also, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if this becomes, I think with all of these, this is going to become my weekly chant. But with any Apple product, you got to hold it in your hand and see what it's like. And when people hold this phone in their hand, they may get really excited about it. I don't discount that at all. On the other hand, I think just because we're excited about it, I'm not going to extrapolate that into everybody in the world is ready to throw out their free Nokia to go out and spend $600. I know they don't need that many people to do it. It's a big industry, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. I think for most people, the BlackBerry is, I mean, the people that I know that are out there and are like the power users of this stuff, the BlackBerry and the Palm are what they need and they already have.
Getting back to the original topic, every time I look at some, there've been a whole flood of these stories about how iPhone anticipation is killing sales of these other retail outlets. Verizon is down, T-Mobile is down. But when you look at the paper, when you look at the paperwork that they did, you really can't see that they've isolated iPhone anticipation as the reason why they're citing this downturn.
Right.
There's so many variables involved that they're just basically it's
well, but if there were overall an industry-wide slump, you could blame that on the iPhone. I mean. It's not a definite correlation.
Hasselhoff got videotaped being drunk. That'll cause a slump in iPhone sales. You know.
You could also there's a big difference between. I mean, and I'm not even saying I agree with this, but if people are waiting because of the iPhone, which may or may not be true, but if they are, that's still no guarantee that that's the decision they're going to make. That's the one that they're going to buy. You know,
it may just be wait and see, right? Yeah.
Well, it could also be the time. Could be the time of year. You know,
it's clear that Apple has to deliver on the promise. If we get an iPhone that sucks, you're going to hear me talk about it a lot because I'm going to be pissed. And you know, I think they obviously have to do a good job. The assumption I think going on here, Merlin, is that people generally who listen to this show probably think that Apple does a pretty good job with the Mac computer, and they're giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to do the same with a cell phone. Now, if they don't deliver, they're getting their butt kicked. And
why would a guy on Caltrain with a BlackBerry give them that same benefit of the doubt?
Well, only if he's a Mac user and he's got heavily tied into his Mac apps and he sees maybe some additional
6% of the market may be giving them that benefit of the doubt. And then what percentage above that 6% are holding out on renewing their contract as a result of that?
Well, obviously, you're right. The thing we don't know about is how these all gel out and what's going to happen. I actually think the biggest threat to the iPhone still remains Singular. I don't think it's Apple's mistake. I think I did a little test thing for an article I'm writing where I signed up for a Singular account and then canceled it. And let me tell you, nightmares. I still have nightmares over what that entire customer service experience was like. And I'm pretty sure that all the Singular people that I've dealt with so far have been to the school where they teach them the new motto, which is, you know, we're not happy till you're not happy.
Yeah, I've had bad experiences as a Singular customer. I was a Singular customer for a long time and not the best customer service.
Well, you know what? If
now it's AT&T, though, isn't it? I mean, are we really going to be dealing with Singular?
It was, yeah, exactly. It was AT&T, then it was Singular, now it's AT&T again. I mean, if I were a dentist, I would be the one out of every five dentists who doesn't recommend sugarless gum, because I seem to be the one person who's had very decent.
You like sugarless gum?
No, it gives me major earaches.
Okay,
aspartame. It's part of the.
I'll just
to be one lone defender of Singular. When I was having that problem with the SIM chip, it was customer service who eventually found out exactly what the problem was. I wound up within 10 minutes talking to a former AT&T engineer, someone who's been around with the company or in customer service for 9 years, who, you know, was able to track the serial number and say, oh yeah, you've got a 32K card. We need extra space for this. When I identified myself as a nerd by identifying three bad Star Trek, The Next Generation episodes.
Oh, really?
He started talking really tech to me and saying, oh no, because it's a smart card. It's using the old version of the software. We need an extra stack for it, blah, blah, blah. And then I got back to like the contract part of it. And then I got screwed, but still, it wasn't a horrific experience.
What you're describing is making a fantastic point, though, which is something that I feel like, you know, I rag on Sprint because they are by and large a piece of crap company in my experience. But having said that, I cannot tell you the extraordinary amount of help I've gotten from a few people at Sprint.
You get the right people anywhere you're going to be.
This is the part that, you know, where I always, when people just kind of write off an entire company, I always kind of like cringe a little bit, because I know really great people at all of these companies. That you do tend to get a preponderance of evidence about certain companies. I will say that. But as far as the Sprint thing, like I was in their whatever their stupid ambassador thing where they give you free phones, and you're supposed to be able to use one of these phones as a Mac modem. And I don't know about you guys, what your experience is, but in my experience, like this stuff works out of the box on Windows and hardly ever works on Macs.
Right.
It's just not supported. Right. But almost all of these companies, they can put you through to this one little special broom closet where like the smartest guy in the entire company works, who's got, or gal in one case. I had a woman walk me through for an hour and a half at 9:30 at night, just because she was clearly interested in seeing this problem solved. She sat there with a big three-ring binder and went and got whatever documentation she needed. And she walked me through this entire thing. She's not in like the queue. She's not in like the first level support. You know, there's all these people. If you get the right person, they will help you with that. But I don't think that's how they're trying to.
Yeah.
Doesn't scale.
I'm hoping they do a good job. I was just saying, that's my big fear. I think the cell phone's going to be fine.
I'll save my rant response to that for next time. But I do have a rant response to that, which is just in very short, is that if it really did matter to phone companies to go out there and, as you say, try and make this stuff that makes people want to use their phone more, there's nothing that has stopped them from doing that.
Merlin, I agree. All I'm saying is I think this might be the first time when someone actually tries it. That's all.
And then that drives competition as a result.
Yeah. I think they could have and should have been doing it a long time ago. Absolutely agree with you. I just think we finally could be on the precipice of the potential. And, you know, there's a lot of if.
We are
maybe
on the precipice should've. Of the potential, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as qualified a response as I can get because, you know.
Smell an upcoming commercial.
I really hope it works. And if it doesn't, I will dedicate the Apple phone show every week to beating the crap out of these people.
New, I'm going to move on because I'm so sick of the iPhone. I just really can't hear anymore about it. I'm sorry. Unless you have anything, anybody has anything really important to say.
The only
last thing I'd say to button it up is to realize that even Apple, even Steve Jobs, Mr. Cheerleader, Mr. You know, reality distortion field, in the big keynote, he said that all he wants is to get the tiniest microscopic little sliver of the cell phone market, and he'll consider the iPhone a success.
Of course, so
thinking that the iPhone's going to kill the entire world.
He's sandbagging. That's underselling. Yeah. Of course, he doesn't think that in his heart of hearts. He's just saying that so that nobody will say
he's
it was
the master
a flop.
Of understatement.
Yeah, I mean, in his heart of hearts, he thinks no. It's very clear. Steve thinks this, all other phones are crap. And everybody will buy an iPhone before the end of the year. But he's not going to say that out loud. You know he thinks that. You know he thinks that.
It is unwise to tip the vessel of wisdom, young Padawan. I don't think...
But it depends. Are we on the precipice of the beginning or not?
Ladies and gentlemen, please tip your vessel off the way out tonight.
They've been good to you.
They're hardworking vessels.
According to Macworld UK, Apple is going to launch new Macs with LED backlit screens this summer. They're quoting Digitimes, who says that these screens will ship in the second or third quarter this year. They're sampling it already to Apple. 13.3-inch screen. Interesting. And a 15.4-inch screen.
Hello, big iPod.
Really big iPod. Or maybe a kind of smaller Mac. Especially these, I think we're going to see LED backlights everywhere soon, but that would be a nice thing to have. And would it mean a new laptop or just a new screen? Sounds like these sizes. I mean, the 15.4, that would be a 15, right?
But I don't understand what the story is here. I'm not understanding the greatness of what LED. What is this?
Oh,
what
there's
this
all
mean?
Sorts of reasons why it's better than you have fluorescence.
Well, here's your opportunity.
You have fluorescence right now in the back. LEDs use less power. Their color control is better. I think everybody's moving to LED. They're just more reliable.
Lighting is more even too.
Yeah, much more even. You know how on your
you get hot spots.
Yeah, I mean the truth is we put up with really pretty crappy screens if we think about it. And sometime soon we'll be able to actually admit that.
I guess this story would be more interesting to me if that number was 12.0 instead of 13.3.
I know, it's a
little
big.
Want a little computer, don't you?
I want a tiny computer.
But that's still smaller than the 14s, right? I mean, it's still a little bit smaller. How big is the MacBook? That's 14, right?
That's 15 and change. It's a little bigger than the old 15-inch.
The MacBook?
Oh, I'm sorry, the MacBook Pro that I've got is 15.
No, the MacBook itself, though, is 14, I think. So this is a little smaller than the MacBook.
Huh.
Yeah.
I actually know what this is going to be for.
Okay.
A product no one has ever even discussed on this show.
It's called the iPhone.
No. It's the tablet PC version of Apple TV.
There is of Apple TV. Oh, boy. That's combining three different rumors. There is a rumor that there'll be a tablet Mac. I'd love to see a tablet Mac. I'd love to see a Mac ebook reader. I'd love to see a lot of Apple stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it is likely you'll see LED Macs, and they're saying that it might be just in time for WWDC. Will there be announcements at WWDC?
Yes, here's your beta copy again, and see you in October.
I got the email today. It says, come to WWDC and get your beta copy of Leopard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I think you would always expect that, wouldn't you? Let me dig it out of my trash. Yeah.
Don't you get a beta copy at every WWDC?
I think so.
Pretty much. Well, I think that.
Didn't everybody get their beta copy last year?
And they say before anybody else.
Well, just the alpha copy. Remember that last year he couldn't show us all the new features because Microsoft was going to just steal those ideas.
Here it is. I got it out of my trash. See the future, then take it home with you. The Leopard beta available first at WWDC. And then, of course, a day later, everybody else will have it. At the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference, we're planning to show you a feature complete. Ah, that's important.
Feature complete. That's new.
Feature complete version of OS X Leopard. Now, that's important.
So yeah, I think this is what we're seeing is what we thought. I mean, had they said, put it in stone that they were going to be putting this out at WWDC in June?
I had heard feature complete, but I don't know if it was a rumor or. No. I mean, this invitation came to me today at 9:41 a.m. So I presume, and that's the body of it is feature complete. Take it home with you. So I think maybe this is the confirmation we've been waiting for that, we'll at least know what those secret features that Steve was talking about were, or whether...
Yes, but you won't be able to tell anybody about them.
Nah, well, you think so?
I'm just kidding.
That means? I think that'll come out pretty quick. Every time they give out a beta at WWDC, it kind of hits the streets a few days later.
Yeah, but you sign that document and says you won't talk about anything except what's discussed.
You'll never get it out of me.
Never say
all we have to do to bribe Merlin is just bring him a bag of Lay's potato chips and then he'll give it all up.
Bet you can't eat just one.
We'll just sit there and go, Merlin, for each and every tidbit about the new operating system, we'll give you a new chip.
That's part of Apple's plan. They check his webcam. The more he seems to be retaining water, the more Apple knows he's been spilling secrets.
His ankles are huge. Action stations, action stations.
Scramble, scramble.
It's when he has to put on those special socks that we know he's in real trouble.
Yes, my orthopedic pants.
I'm struggling a little bit on today's show because there isn't that much.
Hey, let's talk about the increase in Mac users online, Leo.
There is an increase in Mac. Oh, yeah, because you can see in your log how many people come in there via a Mac browser.
Yeah. So they're reporting this on Mac Life that now, where it was 3% of the browsers were Mac-related last summer, now it's doubled to 6%.
On their site or?
No, this is based on a survey that was done that they're reporting on.
So twice, it doubled.
Doubled.
See, if only Microsoft were as good as making really penetrating YouTube commercials as Apple were. They'd have like, hi, I'm a Windows machine. Hi, I'm a Mac. Well, Mac, congratulations. More of you have discovered the internet in the past 2 years. Of course, my grandmother's been using it since 1994. Turns out you don't need a phone line anymore, Windows. Yes. It's called Wi-Fi. I'm making air quotes.
Oh, I'm going to, maybe I'll check my Google Analytics and see if I have more Mac users. I bet I don't.
Google Analytics was updated today.
I know. I just went there and all of a sudden I'm getting new version.
Jeff Veen can finally reveal what he has been working on.
Well, how do I, that's cool. I want to, but how do I get in it?
You know, I'm not getting the updated version. They might be doing their rollout thing.
Oh, okay. After it has been made active, you will still have access to the old version for a month. Confused. I'm confused.
Hey, do you guys remember when we went to Macworld last year and all the Greenpeace people stood at the door there and tried to hand us the thing talking about Apple?
Yes, Apple is now green.
They are now green, and that'll be interesting.
Wonderful.
Google,
I think
Analytics
that's actually the part I wanted to mention about the LED thing. I think that was part of
the entire
This is the Google Analytics guide. It sounds just like Merlin Mann.
Converting and retaining visitors and customers. We've taken a cross-disciplinary approach to Google Analytics.
It is Merlin Mann.
Merlin, did you do that?
Doesn't sound anything like me. What are you talking
just
about?
Just say cross-disciplinary approach to Google Analytics. Go ahead. Come on.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Where were we?
I got sidetracked.
I got Apple Green.
I got sidetracked.
I was talking about Apple Green.
Please play the music, if you would.
What music would that be? Oh, Rat Hole?
Google Analytics goes beyond traditional web analytics reporting to help you manage the entire process of acquiring, converting, and retaining visitors and customers. We've taken a cross-disciplinary approach to Google Analytics that breaks out the specific reporting needs of each job function. Executives, marketers, content developers, merchandisers, and webmasters.
Leo, are you doing a mashup?
It's a mashup. It's a rat hole mashup. That's kind of a double rat hole.
A meta rat hole.
A double rat hole.
Break light switch wave here.
Okay. Go ahead, Scott.
I'm really trying here, guys.
I'm trying to add content to the show.
I'm trying to make the Mac show about Macs a little bit.
And that's what infuriates us all. This is our big chance to empty out that supply closet of interesting stories, funny anecdotes, and ways to switch our minds off and simply get through a podcast we've had in the past 8 shows. This is a lack of Mac news. It's like a snow day. You don't understand that. You don't do homework on a snow day. You grab the sled and head for the golf course.
Yes.
You know what? Never mind Apple being green. I don't care.
Oh, no. It's just I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
They're green. It's on the front page. It says they're green.
It's another one of Steve's special little notes to the kids, like he did with the.
He's doing that a lot now. He's very presidential of him.
You should get a blog.
You know, here's the thing that I think.
He should get a blog.
I haven't seen people mention is. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters who they are able to appease. And Greenpeace has doubled their green rating as a result of this announcement. So I thought that would be
doubled from nothing to okay.
It was 2.7 out of 10 to now 5.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly
that's not exactly a ringing
seal
endorsement.
Of approval.
Maybe it will keep those people from trying to stuff those cards in our pockets next year.
I like how
you hate to see them in a Zodiac boat headed up to the Cupertino campus. That's a long portage, even for hippies.
I just love how on the Apple page, you know, they have the very slick Apple graphics, but then the greener Apple looks like it's been printed on a recycled web page.
Yes,
Did you notice the big change there? Greenpeace managed to do something miraculous. They managed to get Steve Jobs to change his mind on one thing. For the first time in, 6-7 years,
true.
We see an Apple logo that's colored.
Oh,
it's
a green.
Green logo.
It's a green
Only
Apple.
Six more colors left to go, and we're back at where where that logo is supposed to be.
They couldn't do that till they made the deal with the Beatles, because that looks just like the Apple Core Apple.
Tomorrow, yellow, orange, red, purple, and aqua in that order.
Says please. They're eliminating the use of lead, cadmium, hexavalent chromium, decabromide diphenyl ether,
Zeccabromide.
Oh! Arsenic, mercury, polyvinyl chloride, bromated flame retardants.
Now, are you describing a Whopper, or are you describing a new Macintosh?
It's the new Chicken McNugget.
That's what I was thinking. Because that looks an awful lot like the menu I saw over at the fast food place.
Typical. So they're talking about CRTs and the fact that Apple was the first company in the computer industry to eliminate CRTs. That's good.
Giving the planet food big old hugs.
Yeah, big hugs. Arsenic. Apple plans to completely, this is good news, completely eliminate the use of arsenic in all of its displays by the end of 2008.
You know, I'm going to miss that.
Will be removed.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that arsenic, you know.
My dad's in the arsenic business. Oh. I don't know if they care about the jobs this is going to cost my family.
Don't worry, there's plenty of rats to poison still. Apple plans to reduce and eventually eliminate the use of mercury by transitioning to LED backlighting for all displays when technically and economically feasible, like in June. So there you go. There's another reason, Merlin, for LED. No mercury. Apple plans to completely eliminate the use of polyvinyl chloride and bromated flame retardants by the end of 2008.
Now, if they're getting rid of all the arsenic, I just want to know, are they going to stop there, or are we going to get rid of the lace, too?
Old lace, yes.
Yeah, all the old lace.
All the old lace.
Arsenic substitute.
A note of
now, come on, Merlin. I didn't get anything out of you on that. I thought that would be 1944. I didn't get anything.
Carrie Grant made that joke 45 seconds ago.
Okay.
In his head. He made it in his head. It doesn't count.
You told me to get new material. I get new material,
and
I get nothing.
He made it and rejected it. He actually, that was a rejected
joke. You and Foster
joke.
Should hire a writer together.
Oh, God. Now, that's like the biggest insult out of 2.3 million.
Don't make me call John Foster and bring him in here. All right.
Get him on.
Okay. Any other stories at all? Anything, please. I beg of you.
Coda.
Yesterday I scraped enough hair out of my keyboard to make another cat. I don't know if that's relevant to the rest of the community.
I saw that you were cleaning Lilith out. I saw some keys removed, it looked like.
The R key weren't working no more, and so I got my dental tools and I popped it up, and it looked like a crime scene underneath that one letter. And so I just kept popping off letters to see how far it would spread, and before I knew it, I had done a complete cordiectomy. And it took me 4 hours to get every single piece of gunk out of that.
It's disgusting, and it's satisfying.
Hey, I can take that, Andy. I can take that a step further. I got a Big Mac out of mine this morning.
Oh my!
One crumb at a time.
I just buy new keyboards. It's
fresh, given McDonald's use of preservatives.
Keyboards.
They don't advertise
Scott's
that, but it is a feature.
Keyboard.
Yeah. You know, a good $10 challenge. I bet the winner of the dirtiest keyboard competition, you sprinkle one half of a teaspoonful of grass seeds on the keyboard. If you see anything
see
sprout
grow.
Within, let's say, 2 weeks, you win a gift certificate to the Outback Steakhouse.
Depends. Does grass eat Lay's potato chips would be the same question.
Well, I'll tell you who would win that competition out of our gang, hands down, would be Alex Lindsay.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. He's got some... You just go over to the Pixel Core office and look carefully at some of those keyboards. They are dirty.
That's pretty bad. If you guys go do a quick Google on keyboard grass, and you can see a practical joke somebody did where they planted grass in someone's keyboard. See what that looks like.
See, this is why I hate the internet. It's impossible to make a joke because there's a webpage for it somewhere.
Keyboard grass.
It's really good.
And you know what's really bad
websites, is... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That domain's probably taken. Keyboardgrass.com is probably taken.
This is great. It's a tutorial. It's a tutorial to actually walk you through how to do this to someone. Step one, remove keys. Yeah, this is...
Do you have to add soil or...
There's cotton balls involved. And I think that's cheating.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And then what do you get? Do you actually have grass growing up between the keys?
Yeah, it actually looks very pretty. Have you ever seen like one of those
it does look good.
That hasn't been weeded?
Yeah, like a terrace or like stepping stones.
Is it still usable?
I don't think so. It looks like they're having some problems with the 5 key.
Yeah, the 5 key is not looking real good. You know, when John Foster does the show notes for this show, Merlin, keep in mind, he has the chance to get back at you. Sorry, that just kind of popped up in my mind.
Yeah, that's all right.
It was a weird show notes last time. I think John was tippling just the slightest.
You have to be careful that John doesn't do these around the time he does the beer cast.
I think that was the problem. He just completed beer cast.
Yeah, each week's notes get a little weirder, don't they? Yeah.
And every once in a while, he actually mentions some of the things we talk about.
I'm sometimes conflicted about whether to include them with, should I make some editorial comment here? Should I just put them in without comment? I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, here's where the turn came. One week he put in the show notes, it's like I'm on the show, but I'm not, because he just started talking about all kinds of stuff that we didn't.
He wants to, you know, we should just invite him, for crying out loud.
You know, he's a great guy.
Yeah, I love John. I don't know why I haven't, we'll just get him on next time. So sorry, John. I don't know why we didn't.
We're making fun of you, John, but we miss you.
We love you, dude. And maybe he could bring some news next time.
Is that a hint? Would you like us to come up with some news stories?
Someone starts stealing, like, just the green iPods from stores. Like, do 50 of the 50 stores, 50 green iPods stolen, just so we have something to talk about. Plus, we'll have a week to think of material on jokes to make about why just the green ones.
This week, Apple's not as green, because they've lost some iPods.
another Outback Steakhouse gift certificate to whoever commits this. You have to videotape yourself doing it and YouTube it so that it winds
up on the
Daily Show.
You've got to quit talking about Outback Steakhouse.
And I don't think it's really appropriate to encourage theft on the show. I don't.
You're eating the only thing that's more healthy than a Bloomin' Onion. I congratulate you.
A Bloomin' Onion.
I think Bloomin' Onions should be served by cardiologists. They should actually, somebody, an MD, should actually come to your table and set it
medically down. Contraindicated cuisine, my favorite.
They
kind
should give it to
cuisine.
You with a do not resuscitate order while you're eating it. Just
well, look, if you don't start building up antibodies against cholesterol, you know, you're going to drive a heart attack.
Would you like me to replace your dressing, Ivy?
Yeah. I suppose you want to live in, like, you know, John Travolta plastic bubble like vegetarians.
I love that.
Behold
movie.
The mighty cockroach. Let us learn from his example.
Walt Mossberg.
He eats everything. He's indestructible.
And Walt Mossberg in the Wall Street Journal. Should I wait to buy a Mac? He says, Leopard isn't an entirely new operating system, but a major new version or edition of Apple's Mac OS X operating system. It will replace the current version called Tiger. As you noted, it was supposed to become available this spring. It's now been delayed till October. He says, I'm still reading. I'm sorry I even brought it up.
Is there a point to this?
There's no point.
A Mac-related rat hole. Very rare sighting.
Upgrading to a new operating system has generally been a very good experience in recent years. If you intend to upgrade to Leopard, then the biggest downside for buying a Mac now may be financial, not technical. If Apple's PAX practice prevails, $129. Memory could be an issue. I recommend doubling it. I suspect he doesn't even answer the question.
Well, but you know, buying a Tiger Mac and then upgrading to Leopard gives you an advantage that you don't have if you buy a Leopard Mac, and that is downgrading back to Tiger once things start to go pear-shaped.
Good point.
I know where those installed DVDs are at all times. Anytime I want to slam back to 10.4, I'm breaking that glass.
There you go.
I'm slamming that disc in.
Let's send a note to Walt. That's exactly right. There's the right answer. See, I knew I was the reason I brought that up. Don't wait. Buy that Mac today.
Did you see the Apple Insider thing where they're talking about the, I guess it's a patent for a cube interface for dashboard?
Did you guys see that last week, didn't we?
We did? Who are you guys? What are you doing in my room? What have you done with
Alex? I am the ghost of technology past. You have one chance and one chance only of my procuring.
Okay, I got
change
one.
Your ways or else.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but there is a guy who made a backpack out of a Mac SE.
See, I think we actually went, you know.
How many times do we have to do that story?
Andy Hertzfeld is working on this great app called Switcher. It lets you have both two programs. They don't have to be desk accessories.
Whoa, back up. Two at the same time?
Yeah, hey, listen, exactly. This is the Mork from Ork version of Mac Break Weekly. We're actually reading the news as we go back and get, you know, younger and younger and younger.
Actually, I think that
wormhole,
we're
back through a wormhole.
We did last
through
week.
Time and space.
Sorry. Last week we did do antique hardware. What if we did antique software? Your favorite Mac apps from the System 7 days or the
now you're on to something.
You know what we should do? We should do the 1988 edition of the Mac Break Weekly.
Oh, that would be fun.
In which we agree we will talk about, we will pretend it's 1988. We will do talk about nothing but 1988 hardware.
Let's
it'll
take
be totally
some time and work on that.
Be about Macintosh. Yes.
I think that's a great idea.
We should actually write that up as a show.
Well, we'll do it. We'll need some effort to think about it, and that's probably why it won't happen.
Get some guests. Get, like, Dave Weiner on. Like, get some people.
We'll
Andy Hertzfeld. Yeah, that's right. Long hair. We could do that April 1st of next year for our April Fool's Day / 32nd anniversary of Apple Computer.
Yeah.
Nice. How about that?
I've got it in iCal already.
All right, put it in your iCal. Remind me.
Looking at the Talking Moose page on the Wikipedia.
Talking Moose. What a great app. And then there was Tiny Elvis that followed that on.
I don't remember Tiny Elvis.
Oh, Tiny
Elvis. Hey, I have a follow-up from last week's show I forgot as my best piece of Apple hardware.
Okay.
I still have my chip puller from my Apple II days.
You would pull chips on your Apple II? Oh, I guess to put new RAM in?
When you got the box, you had to put everything together, and they gave you a little chip puller that had a little Apple logo on it. And I still
Mac Warehouse used to do that. When you would order your RAM, they'd send you a videotape about how to replace your RAM with a little toolkit.
There was no video with the Mac II, but...
this is before video. Back then, they'd send you a wax cylinder and a scroll.
Anyway, you decided to put more RAM into your computer device. Well,
I still have that thing. It's pretty cool.
I still have on my keychain, ever since I was like 15 years old, the hex wrench tool they used to get with a disk tool disk drive for installing the disk drive inside the Apple IIe.
For taking
it's been
off
on every single keychain.
Or the case removal thing or the...
No, it's like a little hex wrench because to secure the ribbon cable to the card so that it wouldn't like rip out the contact from the card, you have to actually put in this little like these two little nuts that would like just sort of hammer it and like wrench it into one of the slots. And everyone got one of these things in the package. I used to install all the disk drives in my high school, so I wound up with a big collection of 18 or 19. One of them survived the cut, and you know it's right there on my keychain.
That's kind of neat.
Did you ever use 256K RAM chips for Christmas ornaments?
I use them as Christmas gifts as early as late
I used to get, I mean, the thing is, there was a point where, like, every Mac out there was just full of these chips. And then, I don't know, at some point, I'm going to say around probably 92, 93, when they started having more where you could put in 1 meg chips. I just had, and I was a Mac, that was the Mac geek for my company. And I had this enormous pile of 256K chips. And it looked very high tech, you know, but you couldn't really do anything.
I think we all have, like, leftover RAM that's really pretty much worthless. It was hugely costly at
the
time.
It doesn't take long. It really doesn't take long. And totally.
Well, if we're going to do classic Mac software, I want to go first because I want to get this one out of the way before someone else uses it. HyperCard!
HyperCard, because you love HyperCard.
I do love HyperCard. In fact, I miss it so much I can't stand it.
Have you tried any of the variants like SuperCard? There are a few still out.
I keep thinking I should. I just never get around to them. But, I had so many HyperCard stacks that I wrote, Leo. I mean,
The last time we talked about this, I got a lot of email from people who said, there's still plenty of ways to run HyperCard stacks on the modern Mac.
Runtime revolution.
Didn't you time contractions with HyperCard, Leo?
I tried to, but that all went by the wayside the minute the baby started coming. So it's runtime revolution is one.
Have you tried any of these, Leo?
No, Andy probably has. Have you, Andy?
Yeah, three or four years ago, I had to try to like resuscitate a whole bunch of different stacks, and Revolution worked just great. Someone actually still owns the rights to SuperCard, and they were making some sort of heroic but desperately futile attempt to resuscitate it. And so I wound up not using it, but Runtime actually worked just great. As a matter of fact, I think it went open source or someone took the project open source.
Oh, and now
it's the easiest way. You can actually I was able to recompile that stack into Linux versions and Windows versions.
And it runs. You don't even need the HyperCard player.
Yep. I don't believe it supports X commands. It might or it might not.
It's interesting because if you look at the HyperCard's language, it really is the predecessor to AppleScript. It's basically AppleScript.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the first language in which I could really say that it was a credible development environment for just about anybody who wanted to do just about anything.
Very English.
Because if all you wanted to do was just drag buttons in and just connect them to other cards, you can make useful stuff that way. But once you start saying, well, geez, I just saw the stack that did this really cool thing. How does that work? Click on the button, look for the script. Oh, it's just three lines, isn't it? And then you just paste it into your own stack. And before you know it, you're building
your $100 an hour. Do you have to use the British accent, or can you use a German accent?
It helps if you're trying to get that $100 an hour consulting fee. They really respect a non-American accent.
Okay. That's your problem, Governor.
It's a Fremitz. So I'm reading, I'm looking at Tidbits.
Your problem, boss.
Matt Newberg's review of HyperCard 2.2 from 1994.
Oh, my gosh.
HyperCard 2.2 is here. HyperCard was
now with 8 colors.
HyperCard
my eyes, they're dead.
Came to life in 1987 as a brainchild of Bill Atkinson, who of course wrote Mac Paint and is one of the great early Mac system programmers. HyperCard 2.2. Let's see if there's anything interesting in the new features. It supports QuickTime via the Movie X command. That's nice. Now,
was that the first version of HyperCard that revealed the new updated Bill Atkinson icon?
Oh, I don't
that
know.
That freaked me out just a little bit, because Bill Atkinson looked like this wild-haired, glasses-wearing, t-shirt-wearing fellow
right.
nerd.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he had a haircut, and he wasn't wearing...
I
wasn't wearing
that.
Glasses anymore,
and
he had like
that.
One of those extreme makeovers, whatever.
Price was $249. Used to be free, remember?
Yeah.
$249.
So now all I have to do is figure out a way to get all my stacks, which are stored on 3.5-inch floppies,
yeah, you need a floppy
into my
drive.
Computer, and I'm good.
You need a floppy drive. It was the first color HyperCard.
Interns.
For a long time, HyperCard was black and white only. Yeah.
Figure it out. You're getting high school credit for this. Figure it out.
Figure it out. All right. So HyperCard's one. Switcher, we should mention. Another great.
Switcher.
That was really the first multi-finder. It allowed you to run multiple applications and switch back and forth. That was very cool. Because originally in the Finder, you could only run one thing at a time.
Yeah, that's why desk accessories were first. Actually, desk accessories were first created just to prove that you could write software in Pascal, I think. Instead of assembly. No, that is actually true.
And that, by the way, another achievement of Bill Atkinson. He was the guy who brought Pascal to the Mac.
Yeah,
really believed in Pascal.
And he's a really good photographer.
That's what he's doing now, I think. Yeah,
he's a nature photographer, isn't he?
He's an amazing nature photographer. Not just good, amazing.
All right. What other ancient Mac
Wow. I'm looking
software.
At the Wikipedia page for the desk accessories.
Oh,
man.
I forgot about the turtle, the little turtle
Hanging
and the rabbit.
Trumpet.
The turtle and the rabbit. What was that?
How fast you wanted your keyboard to respond. Turtle for slower and rabbit for faster.
Why would anybody want their keyboard to respond slower?
It's like before it starts repeating.
Oh, the repeat, yeah, I remember that, yeah. That was kind of early system preference pains. Look at this, these are black and white. The calculator, puzzle.
Yeah.
Notepad, which frankly is late and long lamented. People miss Notepad. Remember Scrapbook? What a great application that was.
I just remember when...
We're in a Yojimbo now.
Yeah, Yojimbo's not like as... It's like Scrapbook, but not the same.
Welcome to the Geezer edition of Mac Break Weekly.
Yeah.
There was an app I remember getting, the first
You're
one.
You're not imagining it. That is the sensation of your prostate getting smaller.
Shrinking.
Or enlarging, whatever it is old people have.
I think it's bigger, not smaller.
Hey,
collectively, we have 12 onions on our belts among us, both readers, listeners,
that was
watchers,
the style
viewers.
At the time. I remember there was an app, there was a sound app, and where you could replace the system sounds. And this is like 1988.
It was called Sound App.
And yeah, was that right? Mm-hmm. But I remember you could play like a 30-second clip of a David Letterman bit or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
But back, I mean, that was really revolutionary that you could go in and change
computers
that
didn't
stuff
have
on your
sound.
Own.
I mean, PCs didn't have sound.
Well, that's what made stuff like this Talking Moose just seem so magical.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you flip it on, you type in, and it starts talking, and it's just mind-blowing.
Wait a minute. They beeped, didn't they, Leo?
They beeped out of the computer speaker, and some early PC games would... In fact, I remember Castle Wolfenstein for the Apple II.
I've heard of Zane Schweinhoff.
They would talk in German.
They're not going to understand what these people are saying anyway. We may as well make it in German. Let's go for broke.
Because it was coming out of that little speaker. But even the fact that they could do that was amazing. It's funny. Yeah, and then remember that there were applications. I think the guy who writes Type It For Me wrote the first one. That would make typewriter sounds when you typed on your Mac.
Oh, God, I had this totally annoying control panel that you could assign any key.
Yep.
Well, back in the day, the trick was ResEdit. You had to do everything with ResEdit.
Oh, ResEdit. There you go.
So you get ResEdit and you open an application. The first thing I learned with that was that whatever application, program or whatever they called it then, had sounds in it, you could pull the sound resource files out of there and turn them into desktop.
Fun to play with the sound resources.
ResEdit, you could really screw something up good really fast with ResEdit.
So by the way,
I had a buddy who took ResEdit and he would get every piece of Mac software and change it so that
everything.
It had been authored by him.
That's lame. So that sounds like my kid. So it's Ricardo Ettore who writes Type It For Me, and he has, and you could still, I'm not sure you'd want it, you could still get it, Sounds For Fun. Will replace any sound for any activity on the Mac with any other sound. So you can have typing.
You know what's hilarious is I went in, this is so bizarre that I'm just describing, like my first crush on the Mac was, you know, apart from being able to type my papers, was that ability to go in and fiddle with this stuff.
Right.
And it was just yesterday.
Sound control. That was
like just yesterday I opened up the package contents for Adium so I could go in and steal some sounds out of there.
Did you? And you knew how to do that.
Yeah, you just go.
It's
you,
like
you know,
recess
just,
editor, isn't it?
You know, it's just a folder.
No, I don't need it.
So.
Right. Yeah, you don't need it. But it's the same idea, though. The resources are still there.
Yeah. Oh, people don't know. There's all kinds of great stuff inside all these applications.
Right,
there's all
right
stuff
click
you
and
never
show
see.
Package contents. You can get right in there. Yeah. Yeah.
People wonder how you managed to get those great, like, 3-inch wide icons, you know, for whatever thing you are trying to do. Well, no, it's actually a file that's actually inside this folder. Oh, no, it's not a folder. It's double clickable, isn't it?
I can highly recommend the Tokyo Subway sound set from Adium. It's really good for alerts.
Oh, you know, because that's a good Mac wine. The system alert sounds are pathetic.
My God, they're so Jurassic. They're really annoying.
That's a really. Why is it that they have such lousy sounds?
I replaced mine with the sound of the Zeppelin rolling in at the house of prime rib.
Oh, I like that. The sound of your heart clenching at the sight of the beef.
Do you have Adium on your machine now,
I do.
Leo?
I'm going to go look at it right now. I use Adium. I love Adium.
I'll give you the path for this.
Does it come with the Tokyo sounds or do you have to download those?
Oh, that's a good point. I might have gotten...
I'm looking right now. It's contents. Usually it's in Mac OS, right? Or no, resources. Here we go. Resources. And look at all the stuff in here. Lots of stuff. Hey,
you don't need a software program to change.
No, you just right click on these. And you can drag it out. Is it under sounds?
I really stopped being excited about system alerts, I don't know, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm so sick of hearing it.
I'm always just looking for something more subtle.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, if I really want to be reminded of something.
So sue me. I just, yeah. Why, guys?
Dunk. I also like the old startup sounds better, I think.
Who's doing that? Knock it off. That's actually not bad. That's not an Apple sound. That's good.
It is like the droplet sound.
That's
the worst thing
one?
In the world is to let me know that your system alert sound is droplet, because I will walk behind you as you're working and go.
Oh, you're doing
what the hell's going on?
Oh, you're doing
and because,
it.
And because
I thought
because
it sounded
they know,
good.
And because they know that, like, I know something about Macintosh. That, do you have iChat open and do you have the video camera enabled? Because there was a security update like 4 weeks ago where it gets patched into the sound manager, keeps referring, it doesn't dislodge.
Now, if you could do submarine or tink, you'd be really set. So so I found it. It says Tokyo Train Station subset, or sound set, but how do I get into that?
It won't let you double click into that.
Oh, you double click it?
Are you in resources?
Installation successful.
Can we have some rat hole music, please?
C:\backslash
Adium contents. No,
but get a Macintosh.
Oh, show package contents. You're right. It is a folder. Oh, look at them. Yay. Now, how do I get that into my...
You should be able to drag them to the desktop, I think.
Yeah, are you following it home?
But Leo, this call may be monitored for quality progress.
And then what do I do with them?
Open source.
How do I get them into the sounds of the system?
In the library, library/sounds.
Leo library.
Next week, Merlin teaches Leo how to use...
No, this is fun. Okay.
They're subtle. They're very subtle.
They're good. They're the Tokyo train station. I'd play them for you, but you guys wouldn't be able to hear them. But I could play them for the our listening audience.
I can do it on mine.
We can imagine.
Hang on a second here.
That's good. I like that. That's contact.
That's a nice one.
That's contact on. That's contact off.
Yay, doitachimashita!
That's message sent. That's new
Ichibanta.
Message. Those are good. I like them.
I use these for alarm sounds. They're a nice, subtle alarm sound.
Now, is that an actual guy walking around with white gloves and a little funny hat and a chime?
Shoving you in,
yeah.
I've never been to Tokyo. I don't know.
Oops, that was a mistake.
Remember,
I don't really leave the sunset districts.
I made a
districts.
Mistake. I moved them out. I actually have to copy them.
Red
out.
Cars are non-fondling cars.
Yeah, you go. That's
fondle
it.
Girls, if you're in a red car,
what? Do they
you
really say
have
that?
To, you have to sort of they divide them by the sexes in certain places
because
there's this notion that perhaps the inadvertent touch might occur.
Goodness gracious.
Inadvertent. Okay. That'll hold up in court.
All right. So we got, what do we got here?
Were
those
your press?
Res-edit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I thought that
was Res-edit. We got Talking Moose. We got HyperCard. We got Switcher.
Yeah. We covered quite a few.
I miss Shuffle
Sound
Puck.
App.
The greatest
Shuffle
game
Butt?
Ever created for Shuffle Puck.
Oh, Shuffle Puck.
Yes. It was an air hockey game. And the brilliance of this game was that it gave you a 3D view of your perspective view of like the knock hockey table. But you had a mouse in your hand that you were just stroking across the desktop, just like an air hockey kicker.
Oh, that's great.
And so I got more exercise playing Shuffle Puck. and I probably broke more glasses and spilled more beverages off my desktop. Get up, poor English. Son of a bitch, come on. You couldn't do that. You couldn't ask. Undefeated.
And it was a precursor to the Wii.
Yes. I remember that vector. It was a vector with the
vector-ish with tones.
Oh, there's no question that was a great game. I remember that.
That was like probably the early 90s.
Ever going to make another version of it? Yeah, wasn't that long ago? Like late 80s, early 90s.
Dark Castle. You remember Dark Castle? That was a great. You'd remember it if you heard the sound.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe you
powered by Curly.
Maybe you wouldn't. The funny thing is, it was an early black and white Mac game, 1987. But and there were sequels, I think, up to the early late 90s.
Oh,
but then
it
went colored. Have you ever seen this game? You've never played it. I thought everybody
knew. Go to Wikipedia for
Dark Castle on Wikipedia.
Wow, and it's got those old patterns. I love those.
They're like the Mac paint patterns. It was fun.
We talk about the worst game ever made, and it was the first piece of commercial software for the Macintosh, a game called Alice.
Oh, I liked Alice.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was from the guys who later did Myst.
Wasn't it? No, it was the first game. It was made by... can't remember.
It was black and white. It was very early.
The game where Alice from Alice in Wonderland is on a chessboard.
Yeah,
and you have to basically play like the eight queens.
Oh no, that's not the game I'm thinking of.
But the problem is you have the computational power of a human, whereas the Macintosh has the computational power of a desktop computer. It was impossible to win because it wasn't like you make a move then it makes a move. It's like it's always moving on the chessboard. And I found filthy language that I never knew I ever learned, you know, playing this game, like in a crowded, like, school lab. Like, oh, son of a... Steve Capps, that's who wrote it. It came in this really beautiful presentation book. I have like three copies of it in shrink wrap because I found it like on clearance. It was just such a beautiful object. It's like a lot of like diner food. It's really great so long as you don't actually take it internally and use it. If you just leave it as it is and enjoy it as a static object, it's beautiful.
It's like the pictures on the Denny's menu.
Exactly.
The food looks really good there, except you don't want to eat it.
Right. Well,
if you want to read the story of Alice, it's on folklore.org, Andy Hertzfeld's great site, the history
great
of Mac site.
Site.
There's a whole the whole story of how Alice happened, how Steve Capps came to him with the idea and so forth. And the packaging is actually imaged on
it. Has a dark little hate-filled heart and wished to inflict his misery upon the rest of the world. So he couldn't go door-to-door and just hit people in the kneecap, so he designed this game.
Did you ever find the hidden Cheshire Cat menu?
Yes, with the ResEdit.
Ah, ResEdit. There you go.
ResEdit
helped me out of the fool's errand because I could not find one final piece of the map, and then finally I said, screw it, went to ResEdit, printed out all these little icons, cut and pasted this thing in Mac Paint, and suddenly I had the entire fool's map.
ResEdit used to be where
Kobayashi
you also
Maru, like Captain Kirk.
You cheater. But there's also
found a way. Kobayashi Maru.
change your icons, too. That used to be back in the day, that used to be the way to change your icons. Was you had to go through ResEdit as well. You could go in and there was Fat Bits. Remember the
Fat Bits? Fat Bits.
Yeah, everybody could be an artist in black and white. It's not too hard.
Steve Jobs didn't play Alice very much, but he was duly impressed by the obvious programming skills it took to create it. Who is this Caps guy? Why is he working on the Lisa? He said as soon as he saw the program, mentioning Lisa with a hint of disdain. We've got to get him onto the Mac team. Caps did go on to do a lot of stuff for the Mac. Didn't he end up going over to, where did Caps end up? Oh, well.
Fourth level of hell, if I have anything to say about it, Leo. Fifth level! Put him in an open glass elevator. Let all the demons smack him as he goes
down.
Was
he at General Magic with all the other guys? I can't remember. Let's see. Let's look it up. No, doesn't say. He disappeared. Oh, he co-founded the... you know what? You're close, Andy. He co-founded the MSN Explorer project. His early work at Microsoft resulted in Internet Explorer.
Well, that worked out pretty good for him.
He was an interface... You know, you hit this on the head, Andy. From 1996 until 2001, he was a user interface architect at Microsoft.
There you go.
There you go.
And they've done such a good job.
He started on that evil path with Alice, and boy, he figured that I'm not getting out of hell after writing Alice, so I may as well go all the way.
He better hope that CSS developers don't get to decide who goes where in the afterlife.
I have to say, though, give him a little credit, because he wrote Jam Session and Sound Edit and Super Studio Session.
So he didn't fail at everything.
He didn't.
Say those again. What are they again?
Jam Session, Sound Edit, which was a very early Mac editing program. Great Mac music editing program.
Yes.
And Super Studio Session. Sound Edit was eventually sold to Macromedia.
Yeah, that is really ringing a bell.
Yeah.
I feel like...
In fact, as long as we're talking about great Mac applications, let's not forget Mark Cantor. And it was a comic book creator, was the first... edition of
with artwork by Mike Sines from
Mike Sines,
Shatter
yeah
fame.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing?
And Virtual Valerie fame.
Virtual Valerie, oh yes, who could forget when you
no,
said
I
Alice,
definitely,
that,
I definitely
you
remember that
Virtual Valerie. an early attempt at adult software basically in a very limited environment.
That's one software promotional t-shirt that I can't wear, but I can't throw away.
You have a Virtual Valerie t-shirt?
Every year I make the edits and I hold this up in my hands and I realize that I can't. I'm just a big, stupid male. I'm going to keep this another year.
No, I don't blame you. That'll be worth something someday. And as long as you're never married, you're set. Because if I had it, my wife
as long
would
as I got the t-shirt
all.
Who needs a wife?
Who needs a wife? I've got Virtual Valerie.
Doc Severance, ladies and gentlemen, of the NBC Orchestra.
It's funny though, Comic Creator, which was an early animation program, and eventually that's kind of where Flash came from, really.
Yeah, that was the whole Macrovision, Macromedia, Macro, right. Whatever. Right. Macro.
Macrovision. I think you got that one a little.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Didn't Mark Cantor go through every single permutation and combination of the word macro, whatever?
Anyway, we did mention Myst, and you can't forget Myst. But before there was Myst, wasn't there a HyperCard stack that you were going down a river in a boat? And I thought that's what you were talking about when you were talking about Alice. What was the name of that? It might have been called Myst. It might have been the earliest version of Myst.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Has anybody played the new Myst game? Uhuru or whatever it's called?
No.
No. Okay.
1993, it says Myst came out.
Myst was a big important game, don't you think?
I remember watching people play that. I just remember visually it seemed so incredible. Because I played a few of those text adventure games in the late 80s. That was more what I was familiar with.
But, nothing better than Zork, if you ask me.
The greatest. Maze of twisty passages all alike.
My favorite part was whenever you were going to do something special and you saved, it says, are we going to do something dangerous? Every time you type save, it would then come back and say, are we going to do something dangerous?
You can still play that. In fact, all the Zork games are available for free, and you could play them on your Mac in pristine text form if you'd like.
What other way would there be to do that, Leo?
Yeah, right. Well, I think that wasn't that there at some point an attempt to make a graphical version of these.
Yes, and it absolutely sucked. Flopola. It sucked in every way.
Yeah, these are plain old. Now, did you ever play the original dungeon or Colossal Cave?
I did not.
Oh,
I don't remember
Colossal
that.
Colossal Cave, that was great. It ran on.
Didn't have a PDP-8.
Yeah, exactly. It ran on a PDP. But I'll tell you where I played. It was on Compu. In the early days of CompuServe, you could play it.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that now.
Yeah, and that Zork was based on it.
Yeah,
so it had this kind of a similar beginning. Well, I think we should wrap this up with our. It's been fun, actually. We redeemed the show, I think, with those memories. In fact, I'm going to cut all the news out, and we'll just
can
do
I, can
that.
I give you the comments? The Twitter.
Let's let the listeners decide whether we redeemed it or not.
There's already comments.
Let's have them vote on the
TV.
Minute in which it just became
Skip
irredeemable.
Over like the first 25 minutes, and then it doesn't suck as much. It still sucks.
It suck as much.
There's this whole front part you can skip.
I might just edit it out. Why don't I just cut it out?
If you guys keep doing this, I'm never going to listen again.
See, the trick is, if I cut it out and we allude to it, it then becomes the long-lost missing half hour that everybody wants.
Yeah, then we could release it on...
We could charge for that, Leo.
It's illicit.
I tell people, I go, oh, no, you'll be glad I cut it out. It was awful. And that doesn't matter. They go, no, it was really good. You just didn't want us to hear your best stuff. or I don't know what.
Fascist.
You're always, fascist, you're always
bully boy.
It was for a good reason, I believe.
What was it, like 3 minutes until they had the unedited talk show version of our show up last time?
That's right. That didn't take
long. It was like 3 minutes before it was up.
Yeah. And everybody's listening to that with all for all
can
the
you
profanity.
Beat that, listeners? I so this, can. This, another this, Outback this Steakhouse family. Gift certificate.
They walk into
our new sponsor, Leo.
Actually, we have Outback. A sponsor. Believe
Good
it or not,
food,
we have a sponsor.
Right.
Who's our sponsor? Yeah.
Oh, God, it's Bugaboo Creek. I've just screwed you over. I'm so sorry. Why don't I think before? Think. I'm sorry.
No, Outback Steakhouse.
Bugaboo Creek.
Bugaboo Creek.
Good food done right. They'll treat you right at Bugaboo Creek.
Bugaboo Creek. No, I can't tell you who it is because they didn't pay for this show. They'll pay for next show. But
we better get it out of our system this week.
If we don't have $10,000 by night, we will reveal another letter of the sponsor responsible for this show. Don't play games with us, Mr. Mayor. Click.
No cops either.
Turn on the bat signal. Let's do our software picks and then get the heck out of here. I will start with something that I just discovered on the Ultimate Apple weblog, but is apparently not new. Has been around for a while, and it really looks cool. It's a wrapper for scripts. Now, I do a lot of Bash and Perl scripting because a lot of times command line stuff is a lot easier for me to do, and I like Python, Apple Script, so forth, and it's very fast. But sometimes you wish you had kind of an application around it. Platypus will bundle it. You know about Platypus? It's very clever.
Very cool. Yeah.
So it turns it basically into an application. Couldn't make it. You can do custom icons. It makes it very easy for you to distribute. Now you could do this with Automator too. Automator will allow you to execute any application, and of course, so will Xcode.
But you can also. I mean, I think it's great because you know you can just kind of share these little bits of functionality with other people,
exactly.
And you don't have to go build a big. I learned about a similar thing. Actually, John Gruber told me about this, something called self-service, where you can go in and make a service out of any, like a shell script. Or
that
whatever.
Is cool. So then it becomes part of your services menu.
Exactly. But I mean, I think stuff like that is such a great idea.
Yeah, because there is a lot of power under the hood of OS X. It really is Unix. And so the ability to take a script, a Bash script or a Perl or Python script, and again, I have a lot of them. It even does Tickle, and turn it into a clickable application is really useful.
Good pick.
Yeah, just for fun. It's free. It's easy to use, and it's very mature. You know, this is why I'm kind of embarrassed to bring it up. It's been around for some time. Version 3.4 just came out, but it's been around for about 3 or 4 years now, and a very useful, handy thing. Actually, didn't just come out. I'm sorry. I just learned of it.
There's a Platypus for Firefox, too, I believe, isn't there?
Oh, I don't know that. How would that help?
I'm trying to remember because in my head, and this is what happens when you turn 40, is I thought it did something kind of similar in terms of letting you wrap functionality. Hmm. But I will find out while the next person gets there.
All right. And the next person would be Mr. Scott Bourne. What is your pick?
Well, mates, I'm going to bring it down a little bit now from this geeky stuff to something a little more reliable.
It's the single worst accent I've ever heard.
Correct. I loved that movie. That was so funny.
Very nice.
I'm here just so you guys got some
ladies.
You moved
across like 3 different continents.
In one sense.
And you know why? And you know why, Merlin?
Why is that guy?
Here's the reason why. Because my pick has to do with many continents. In fact, my pick has to do with all continents.
You were incontinent.
Thank you very much. It's Earthdesk. Earthdesk is my pick. Earthdesk is a very cool screensaver. I don't know how long it's been around. It could be like Leo's, could have been around a while, but I just found
Earthdesk.
This.
I love Earthdesk, and it has been around for a while.
You're able to see the whole world, including like the sun where it's supposed to be and the light. Right. And
it replaces your desktop wallpaper.
Yeah, you got city lights, you got the ability to zoom in, satellite maps, and they just did something to the GUI that's a little bit different. I haven't figured it all out yet, but anyway, it's really cool. It's called Earthdesk. It's a screensaver style desk utility thingy.
But it's not a screensaver. It's a wallpaper, basically.
Well, no, actually, it will act as a screensaver.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's 1995. And I'm not sure who it's from, but you can just Google Earthdesk, and you'll find it. That's my pick. And since I was so mercilessly destroyed for my pick last week, I figured I'd pick something as safe as a screensaver.
What was your pick last week?
We're not going to discuss that.
We want to mock you again. Come on.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember.
That was
that
the
at
thing.
All.
You know, I found the place where I could allegedly try to protect my ID by using a proxy server.
Oh,
and basically, Andy in particular left me feeling eviscerated as I signed off the air.
I asked such an innocent question.
He has an acid tongue, you know.
Yeah, I know. So there it is. You can go ahead and try to mock Earth Desk. I dare you.
No, that's a good. That's actually a great.
I love this planet of ours, and I will not hear you malign the spirit of the Greenpeace warriors who just want to leave a better Gaia for our next generation.
Floating in space.
Damn straight.
You're
just a big blue marvel when you see it from up there.
So I'm going to, while we're talking, I am going to, I'll add one more thing, which I've just been playing with and I finally got in. It's Pete Townsend has a website that will write you your own music theme. It's called Method Music. It's at lifehouse-method.com. You get three free. It doesn't like Firefox, however. You get three free. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I passed the test. Yay. Three free theme songs based on your personality. So you have to fill out a form, a questionnaire, and then it makes music that's just yours. So before the show is over, I'm going to go through the form because I don't really want to pay attention anymore. And I will have a theme song. You guys just talk amongst yourselves. I will have a theme song play for you.
One caveat.
See me, feel me.
They all sound like Tommy.
Remember that Pete Townsend is deaf.
So. Oh, dear.
I don't know how that factors in.
Oh, dear. All right.
Hey, well, so is Beethoven. What do you want?
It says, would you like to sit for your portrait now? So I'm sitting for my musical portrait. I don't know what it's doing. Maybe it's, I don't know, going through my hard drive looking for passwords.
Do you need Merlin to tell you which buttons to push yet?
I think I've crashed Firefox pretty much every hour now.
Do you know the story behind Lifehouse?
No, you do?
Lifehouse was going to be the record that eventually became, which was it? I want to say.
Quadrophenia?
Who's next?
Who's next?
But basically, he had this breakdown. He tried to write this. Oh my God, this is totally insane. He was going to write this like rock and roll, rock opera, right? And let me see if I can find
it. Okay, now it's asking me for my voice. So I'm
there's a reason. This is related. So there was this whole thing where it was going to like get brainwaves from the audience, and then that was going to be included. Yeah, that was part of the whole Lifehouse idea.
It's getting my brain.
Put your head on the keyboard and close the screen over your left ear.
No, see, okay, here we go. Here's what it does. You record your voice, you upload an image, you record a sound, you record a rhythm, and then it makes your music for you.
This is from Wikipedia. Pete went wild working out a complex scenario whereby a personal profile of each concert goer would be worked out, from the individual's astrological chart to his hobbies, even physical appearance.
No wonder he
all
went
the characteristics,
in the happy
house. Yeah, would then be fed into a computer at the same moment, leading to one musical note culminating in mass nirvana.
That was totally going to work. It was totally going to work.
Oh.
But then
he made the sort of drugs that Pete Townsend does.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad he made it.
That was everyone's
next
reaction to that idea.
Who's next is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, well, I'm going to put some stuff in here, and we'll just see what.
So, what are you entering right now, Leo? What are you telling?
Well, it wants me some speaking, some of my speech, which I think I have somewhere on here somewhere. I must have said something at some point recorded. Then it wants an image, and it's. I guess you just pick these kind of at random. I don't know. And then it wants a sound, a rhythm, and then you listen to your music.
It's like Mad Libs, kind of.
Yeah. It's kind of like an audio Mad Libs. Is that wild?
I'm gonna
upload Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Cashfly.
You sound like you are trying to sell things. Hi, I'm Pete Townsend.
So Scott's pick is Earth Desk, and I agree. Now let's see. Have you done one, Andy? No, you haven't. Go ahead.
I have not. My pick is probably the epitome of the sort of software that I like. It's sort of like the busy box that you put inside an infant's crib that
love
keeps them pleasantly distracted. You know, there's it's from RainerSoftware.com. It's an application called iBat 2, It does nothing but monitor the performance of the battery on your portable Macintosh. It will give you real-time charts. It will give you blinking lights. It will give you dials like accelerators and things like that. Now, it will give you use... Exactly. It'll like...
I'm monitoring.
The more power it draws, the more watts, you can actually see it twitching. And it will give you one piece of useful information, like okay, it looks like you've got, your battery is only holding this much charge. It doesn't need to be replaced yet, but you're only getting about 60% of the life you would get if it were a new battery. But chiefly, it's just that you get to when you're recording a podcast and you're zoning out just a little bit, you look at that beautiful little bar graph as it spikes up when it accesses the DVD, then spikes back down again because now it's turning off the Wi-Fi. And then
that actually would be useful if it really were accurate.
It's pretty good.
You think it's accurate? I mean, that would be good because you would know.
I have three different PowerBooks that peg the ages of my the basic life performance curves of my batteries pretty well. But again, I'm not suggesting that it's something that you could really make a good case that it's a tax deductible business expense, but it's cool to look at. Not enough things are cool to look at.
Not enough things are cool to look at.
Not enough things.
I like cool. apps
I'm
like
sorry,
that.
I'm distracted.
Like Statue and menu meters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have things like that.
Menu meters more useful, really. Though,
I have menu meters on all the time, and it's always telling you everything. And I always worry that it's using up so many cycles that it's really not reliable.
Yeah, you ever run top? Or like top 10.
You're right.
It's all, top is always, one top's thing. Always the top use.
Top's always on top.
Linux is fun.
Oh, I tell you. Command line apps are fun. Okay, so what is that called? iBat. And who's that by?
That's by Rayner Software. R-A-Y-N-E-R software.com.
And now I think we've made enough time for Merlin to come up with his.
Mine is short, and like it seems like every week I'm trying to give you some new way to move your multimedia from one thing to another. But in the past, I'll just quickly have a little quick mini rat hole, which is that generally I'm a huge fan of TubeSock for getting things off of YouTube, not least because it works with something called TubeSock Loader, which makes it very easy to just like if there's a thread on Metafilter that links to 10. What noise is that?
Sorry, I had to record a rhythm for Pete Townsend. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Don't let us distract you or anything.
Don't let us bother you here, Leo. Just let us know.
I thought you'd gone hip hop.
Okay, I'm going to save that. That was good, you guys.
Not that what you were saying wasn't interesting,
Merlin. Please go right ahead.
And so usually I'm a big fan of TubeSock because of TubeSock Loader. Sorry, I gotta interrupt myself. Which is great. So you know they do that thing where people want to post something on the YouTube, but it's in multiple parts, so it'll be within the 10-minute limit. That's a great app because you can queue a bunch of stuff up. Up till now, I had not been aware of any app that would let you yoink things off of the Google video. And now increasingly, I want to watch stuff on the Apple TV. I don't want to mess around. I don't want to have to put a computer up. Well, now there's this thing called Tube TV. And this is
TV. Is like Tube Sock? Is it from the Tube Sock folks?
And this works with both YouTube and Google Video.
Ah.
And there's a lot of stuff on Google Video
The quality's so sucky, though.
It is sucky, but it better sucky, that they... Well, so what it does is it'll go in and I didn't have an end to that sentence, so I'm going to abandon it.
That's good.
Better sucky than ..
Yeah. Little lifeboats.
Tube TV. Oh, and this will take it to your Apple TV. Oh, that's neat.
That's right.
Want this. This is great.
These are evolving. For example, this show that I've just discovered from friends called Brass Eye, this amazing show from the UK. I've only ever seen it on Google TV. So you pointed at this, and it goes in, and it does a little bit of pixie dust fairy magic to make it look a little
better. And sometimes there are better quality versions on Google TV, but it's probably only gets the one that you get, the free preview one.
But you know what? I just love this these kinds of apps, because you just point it at stuff and walk away, and it takes care of all of it for you. So it's at Chimoosoft, C-H-I-M-O-O, Shimoosoft, maybe.
If you just Google Tube TV, it's like the second.
Why don't you go ahead and just Google Tube TV?
Yeah. That's how I found it.
Now, do you ever use KeepVid?
KeepVid.
I don't know KeepVid.
K keepvid.com. It's totally web-based. It will you basically paste in the URL of anything from just about any video site, and it'll give you a link to a Flash video.
We should have one big Uber post about this stuff, because I mean, I bring it up a lot because I am really using this stuff.
But this is a great. I like the idea of Tube TV because it gets it right to your iPod or your Apple TV.
Which now Visual Hub will do that too.
Yes.
For things like if you've got little, we've talked
about
this.
You've already got it.
Every week, yeah, exactly, and it does queue stuff up really nicely. But I think this is a great. To me, this is fascinating, and this ends up being kind of the last mile. I guess in some ways I am about the Apple TV like Scott is about the as yet unreleased iPhone.
I think
the Apple TV has a lot of promise to it.
Getting content into it is the issue. And, you know, I keep looking for new interesting shows on iTunes, and there just aren't enough, frankly.
Well, let me give you a tip if you're not doing it already. So are you using TubeSock right now?
No.
One nice thing is, like a lot of those apps, it's got a little button you can click that will integrate it into Safari. So what that does is create a bookmarklet. So if you're on a YouTube page, all you got to do is hit that bookmarklet, and it sends it right into TubeSock.
Okay. I do use Visual Hub. I mean, I'll download stuff and I'll convert it with Visual Hub, and that works fine.
I think this is the last mile for a lot of this stuff.
It's key.
Yeah, and we're kind of doing a workaround, I guess we're, that's the kind word for what we're doing. But
hack around.
We call that a kludge, boy, a kludge.
But it's not so difficult that you can't now start getting some of these web videos into your Apple TV or your iPod pretty easily.
You know what this is, dude? This is Napster all over again. I mean, this is something where we're doing something that's a little bit novel with it. But pretty soon, I think you're going to, I suspect, you're going to see people going, oh, for the love of God, yes, go watch this copy of The Daily Show on your Apple TV, please, please, please.
Right.
You know?
Right. I hope so.
I do too.
If they leave the ads in, I could deal with that. Of course, problem is that advertisers know it's very easy to skip the ads in formats like that, and they're not.
Sorry about your broken business model. Be crying all the way to the Apple TV.
All right, so Pete Townsend is finished composing my personal theme song, based on the voice, the image, the sound, and the rhythm that I've supplied. Would you all like to hear it?
I can't wait.
This is the Lifehouse recording that Pete wanted to do. And now he's doing it. Now that he's out of the
needed home. You as a collaborator.
Yes.
Now his dream is complete.
This
God
is my
you,
music.
Leo.
This is my music, baby. Based on my stuff. I like it.
Leo Laporte.
Leo.
He's podcasting.
Leo,
he's crying. He's blogging.
Leo,
he's Twittering.
Leo.
Oh yeah.
Leo.
It's very John Cagey, isn't it? Well, I'm not.
Well, it's kind of like Philip Glass
John
meets
Fishy.
Mike Post.
Philip Glass, I meant. Yeah.
Philip Glass meets Mike Post. Yeah.
Mike Post, I like it. The Rockford Files theme. I don't know how long this goes.
Oh, that's probably long enough.
So basically, the message is that we're going to be seeing this as the intro music to a lot of really, really bad podcasts.
Yeah, I think so.
A lot of really lazy people.
Hey, but Pete Townsend wrote it. Or something.
This is gonna be like what the San Francisco font was to like Macintosh 1985. This music generator is going to be to podcasting in 2007.
does it give you a MIDI file, Leo?
I don't know if it gives me anything. It's just playing it.
Because if it gave you a MIDI file, we could rescue those horrible, horrible generic MIDI sounds.
Is this MIDI?
Oh yeah, that's a little MIDI.
Captain, we are receiving whale song.
Oh, all right. And now it says, do you enjoy doing this? Please let us know how you feel about your music.
Can we tell them how we feel about it?
Penance should be to go
Let's
and
all
listen
go around
to
the room.
Next.
Like an intervention. Let's all go around the room and talk about how Pete Townsend's automated generating music has affected our lives.
It made me a better person because
Pete's
inability to translate the ideas in his head to those around him eventually led to a nervous breakdown. Quote, it was a disaster. No one
That's what it sounds like.
Actually understood the whole concept of Lifehouse.
Well, now I have a 6-minute MP3 of my own personal tune.
6 minutes.
Steakhouse gift card. Whoever can listen to all 6 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All 6 minutes.
Did I say 6 minutes?
Down.
It's 23 minutes, 41 seconds.
Oh, my God.
It's like a Kraftwerk song. It just goes.
Without the
rhythm. I don't think we can get an insurance writer for that long.
Honey, before we get started tonight, why don't you have a glass of wine and I'll play you my 23-minute theme song.
Yeah, that won't be a buzzkill.
Try it yourself. Lifehouse-method.com.
What do you expect from a guy who wrote a song about a blind online pinball player.
Hey.
Leo, did you know that Philip Glass actually wrote a theme song for me?
He did?
Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard it. It goes like this.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Now,
I can't do the clarinet part, right?
Koyana Scotsi. Must see.
Koyana Scotsi. Koyana Scotsi.
But Power Scotsy was not as good.
It goes like this.
Please turn on all cell phones because we want to have something interesting to listen to while this movie is in progress.
All right.
Where did we lose control?
Oh, dear. Maybe just a little bit of a rat hole music theme, and we'll wrap this up. Ladies
and
gentlemen.
Please, let's listen to good music.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we apologize for the preceding program. Now return you to control of your life. Bye bye. More chips?
Yeah, I've got a couple more chips.
I want the ridge kind next time.
Didn't bring enough for everybody.